Ephesians in chapter number four. Ephesians in chapter number four. Of course, we've started just somewhat of a series here through the summer months. I just thought, man, this is some good application for our young people, and since our kind of families are all in here together, and the summer months seem to be where we maybe get outside more, spend more time as a family a little more, and so good to know how we ought to treat one another and to act toward one another. Would be good. And so we look to Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 17 through verse number 32. And let's just read that together again. And then we'll get into the message for tonight. It says in verse number 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to walk in uncleanness with greediness." The ideas of the book of Ephesians, if you study the book of Ephesians and you get kind of some of the reoccurring themes that are in the book of Ephesians, is the identity that we have in Christ. We have been placed in Christ, and we are to identify ourselves in Christ. Our position is in Christ, and we have been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ, and we have to understand that. And he's trying to help them understand that, listen, you're no longer just another person in this world, just aimlessly going along, doing things as you please, and doing things as you see fit, and doing things according to your own lust, according to your own mind, and according to your own desires. We now belong to Christ. We have a position in him. Our identity is not found in the things of this world any longer. Our identity is found in Christ, and therefore we need to act as if we're not trying to identify with this world. We need to act as if we need to identify with him. And he says this in verse number 19. In verse number 20. "But ye have not so learned Christ." You haven't learned. There are some things that you've been taught about Christ that basically we're not doing. We're doing things the way we used to do them, the way the world does them, and not the way Christ has taught us to do them. It says, "If so, ye have heard of him," verse 21, "and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust." That's something we're supposed to put away. The way we walked when we were in the world, the way we acted when we were in the world, the desires that we had when we were in the world, those are to be taken off. And honestly, the analogy there is literally as if it's one garment that has been taken off and has been cast aside, and it's another garment that we put on. I'm going to take that off because I'm warm, and I'll keep it off, but we're to put on a new man, right? And before you got saved, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and now that you know Christ, you've been created in Christ Jesus as a new creature, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And those old things, those old rags that we used to wear, is to be put off. And we're to put on Christ. We're to be clothed in his righteousness. It says in verse number 24, "that ye put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness." Righteousness and true holiness. I'm telling you, it's the opposite. It is literally the opposite of that which this world has to offer. When things are sanctified unto the Lord, they're given unto the Lord. There was a process of sanctification that took place where things were set aside for special use unto God. And throughout the temple, throughout the Old Testament, the idea of sanctification is brought up over and over and over again, where something is cleansed and something is washed. And there's a process by which it's set apart for God to be able to use it. And And if it was to be defiled in any way, it was not to be used in the work of the Lord and for the purposes of God, because it went from being holy and sanctified and separated unto God to unholy and defiled. God doesn't want to work with the unholy and defiled. He wants to work with that which is righteous and holy. That's what He desires to work with. And He desires that we put off our old ways, that we put on our new ways. And so here we see that Paul just begins to give a list. And I made it clear last week, this isn't an exhaustive list. This isn't like, okay, we got these few things down, so we're just fine. No. He's just basically giving us some examples. This isn't everything of the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. And this isn't everything that God wants to teach us. This is just the list that He gives us right here in the book of Ephesians. It's not exhaustive. We still have the rest of the Bible we need to worry about as well. All right, there's more things that aren't on this list. You say, oh my goodness, it's hard to live the Christian life. I'll tell you this, it's not hard to live the Christian life. It's impossible. Say, wow, thanks a lot. It's not hard to live the Christian life. It's impossible to live the Christian life without Christ. Without Christ and without learning Him. And without me going to the Word of God and just like, Lord, I need You to teach me. And Lord, I've messed up again. And I need You to dust me off and clean me off and just get back on my feet again. Put me back on my feet again. I'm telling you, and God's in that business. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful He is long-suffering. I'm thankful He's the God of the bazillionth chance. No, everybody's a second chance. No, I'm far beyond the second chance. I've lost count, so I just say bazillion. But that's who our God is. And we began to look at verse number 25 last week, and we said, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And so we began to discuss this idea of putting away lying, that we are to cast it off, that it is not to be part of who we are. It is not to be a part of us, because it is not the nature of God. It would not reflect the holy, righteous nature of God. It's an abomination to God. It's that which would not be pleasing unto God. And when we think about the idea of lying, we're talking about just someone that would spread a falsehood or would utter for the purpose of deception or with the intention of violent violation of truth. When we say things that are not true, when we affirm things that are not true, or that we allow things that are deceptive to take place, we are involving ourselves in lying. We are allowing false witness to be born. And we looked at a lot of scripture and talked about a lot of scripture, but the reality is this, the desire of God is that we would put away lying. And He has placed us, and I didn't read it, but let me remind us of this. Verse 23, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and the spirit that God has placed in us that is to control our thought and that is control our thinking and is to control our very every action is a spirit of truth, because it's His spirit. And in Him, He cannot lie. And so He desires for the truth to be that which governs our lives, and not that we would allow ourselves to be engaged in lying. And there was a reason why. The reason why was that we are members one of another. We're neighbors. We're neighbors. We're members one of another. The Word of God's very clear. Everyone you come in contact with is your neighbor. Is your neighbor. Say, they don't live next to me. It doesn't matter. You come in contact with them, they're your neighbor, and your members one another. You have a connection through humanity that you owe it to the rest of humanity that you would not lie one to another. It's not just talking about the church body right here. It's just talking about the membership of humanity. You're a human being. I'm a human being. I shouldn't lie to you, because, listen, I don't want you to lie to me. I want you to be honest with me. I need to be honest with you. And we are, sometimes think we'll tell a lie and we'll be doing someone a favor, or we'll be doing someone a help. But the reality is there is no lie that is ever helpful. All lies are hurting. You tell lies, you're hurting someone. There's a member of humanity that you are hurting. And he's very clear. Instead of doing that, we need to speak truth one to another. We need to speak truth one to another. We live in a day and an age where truth is something of folklore, right? I mean, who even knows what truth is or where truth lies or was there ever really any truth? And there's a couple different ways, I guess, in general that people define the idea of truth when we're talking about speaking truth and sharing truth or talking about truth. There's a couple ideas, ways it's defined or terms that are used to outline truth. Some people might say this. They might say that truth is objective or subjective. Truth is objective or subjective. The ideas of truth being subjective or objective, let me just define that for you if you're not aware. A subjective truth is an inward or a personal truth. It's something that is subject to an individual basis. Facts are not important. Facts are not important. It is literally based upon, it can be literally based upon one's individual feeling or a group's individual feeling. It doesn't have any bearing upon fact. Inward belief overrides, honestly, when it's subjective, inward belief can override outward facts, right? Inward belief can. Now, objective truth, though, is different. Objective truth is just kind of how it sounds. It's that which is observable. Right? It's that which is observable. We see it. We can observe it. We can study it. Therefore, we know it to be a truth or a fact. All right? We study it. We can do it. And I want teenagers, kids, listen, your generation is going to fight this more and more and more. And I'm telling you, it's permeating our society, this idea that there is no real objective truth. That all truth is subjective, but that's not reality because there are some things that we can observe as fact. We can count, right? And we can take a tally. In fact, who counted tonight? How many people are in the room? 45. Now, unless he doesn't know how to count, that's a fact. Come on. I mean, he stopped and said 1, 2, 3, 4. But somebody might say, "Wait a second! I have 5 personalities." Right? I'm schizophrenic. So therefore, come on. But the objective fact is this. There's how many in the room? 45. That's how many are in the room. There's an objective fact. Well, how do we know? We observed it. Somebody observed the counting of the bodies that are in this building right now. And so it is simply referred to, it used to be that objective truth simply used to be referred to as truth. I mean, way back in the day, like 100 years ago, before philosophy got placed into truth, we've messed it up. But it used to be that there just used to be, well, truth and lies. But now we have subject, objective. Another way people would define truth is there's absolute or relative truth. You either have absolute truth or you have relative truth. Relative truth. Truth is something that can be true for one person and not another. Watch the news, right? It's true for one person, but it's not true for another. So they'll even make people even today will make statements like this. Well, that's true for you. That's true for you. Or that's a truth that you hold. That's a truth that you espouse. All right, but I don't accept that truth because we believe truth is relative, right? That's their a view of truth. Absolute truth is something that is independently true from an individual person. It's not just based upon what I as an individual think. Even if you do not know it, or even if you are rejecting of it, absolute truth is still true. It's a matter of fact. It's a matter of truth. It's absolute. It doesn't matter whether or not you view it as truth or you accept it as truth. It doesn't matter whether you think it is relative. The ideas of objective and absolute are literally, they're based on that which is observed, right? That car is red. Right? I mean, you can look at a car, or you can look at someone's shirt. Your shirt is black and white striped. But somebody might say, no, it's white and black striped. You know, but, I mean, come on. And we can get in big arguments, but it's observable, right? It's absolute as to what it is. It used to be that we had science that was based on truth, right? Not relative truth, and not truth that was subjective, but just truth. Because we would say, okay, this is how a butterfly develops. Well, how do we know how a butterfly develops? Well, we watched the process of it making a cocoon, and it stayed in there for a certain amount of days, and other cocoons stayed there a certain amount of days, and then they hatched, and they became butterflies. We observed it, right? It wasn't a matter of objective. It was literally biology that was observed. Today, that is not the case. I mean, it used to be. It used to be that the idea of gender was a settled issue, right? It used to be. I mean, there's truth. There's boys and girls. There's those who have an XY chromosome, and there are those who have an XX chromosome. Yeah, I'm telling you, you get some people out digging in an old city, and they come across a bone. They don't look at the bone and say, "Well, we'll never know whether this was a male or a female." We'll never know. I mean, just there's no way of talking to. There's no way for them to communicate to us whether there was a male or female. I'm telling you, all those scientists that are digging up bones in ancient cities, listen to me. They take the bone and they study it biologically, and they come to a realization of whether that bone belonged to a man or a woman. They do. They come to that realization. How in the world? Because they have absolute truth by which they can objectively find out whether that was a man or a female based upon the chromosome. I know I've told you this before, but you got to go see it down in the city of Seattle, where they try to throw out the kind of absolute truth and stuff like that of a male and a female. You can go down to the restrooms at Pike Place Market, and you can find out that at the rest of the rooms of the Pike Place Market, all over the floor of the restrooms of the Pike Place Market, the most openly gay city in the United States, and you're going to find out that they decorated their restrooms by putting XX and XY on the male and female to identify this is the women's bathroom and this is the male bathroom. And they're still there today. I was just down there several weeks ago. They're still there. They were in March. I think it was March a few weeks ago. A few months ago, we were down there in March. They're still there. They say that, listen, there is a difference, and this is how they're identified. That's absolute. That's not something that can be changed. But today we said, no, we operate not on absolute and not on that which is objective. We can operate in truth. We can operate on that which is, well, subjective, and that which is relative. We can operate on those. These are truths by which we can operate on. These are truths by which we can set our lives. And now let me just say this. Sometimes truth can be subjective. Don't lose me here, but sometimes truth can be subjective. You say, what do you mean by that? Because I thought you said truth is absolute and truth is objective. It is. Sometimes, though, we can say, well, that is a subjective truth, and it can be a subjective truth, and this is how we can say that, because sometimes I feel one way, and you feel another. And let me explain that to you. There are people in this room tonight that are wearing sweaters and jackets, because it is their feeling that it is cold in this room right now. There are other people in this room that are using fans. So the temperature of the room, though, listen, the temperature of the room, we can all look up on the little thing up there, is 73 degrees. You know what? You might feel cold, or you might feel hot, or you just might feel okay. But the absolute truth is right up there on the wall. Do you understand that? Now, it is subjective. You can feel cold at 73. That's fine. Or you can feel warm at 73. I'm on the warmer end of things. But the reality is this, that just because that is a subjective truth, that you're cold and someone else is hot, or you're hot and someone else is cold, does never negate the reality that there is an absolute. Are you with me? It doesn't do away with the reality. Someone says, well, I'm mad and I'm sad and I'm this or I'm that. Listen, your feelings are your feelings. They're genuine. They are absolutely your feelings. But sometimes I get mad for no reason at all. I know you never do that. So sometimes I get upset and I really have no legitimate reason to be upset. I really have no absolute reason to be upset. I have no concrete reason really to be upset. That's how I feel. Or angry or whatever. But it's how I feel. Doesn't mean that it is a right feeling, but it is how I feel. And that is subjective, but it doesn't necessarily mean it is objective. Listen, some truths can be relative. They can be. Kids, come on. Some truths can be relative because all people are different. All people are different. But it never negates what is absolute. All right, it can be subjective. It can be relative. It can be subjective. But absolute and objective truth never go away just because someone says, "Well, I think." Well, I feel. I mean, I just feel that I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. Come on, those are the truths by which the world is operating under today. It doesn't have anything to do with reality of truth. It could have nothing to do with the reality of truth. Here's something we need to understand though. No matter what, you can label it however you want: subjective, objective, absolute, relative. You can put whatever label. Those are labels by which we call truth today. However you want to label it, however you want to define it, let me give you this truth. Right, something is either true or it's a lie. Whoa! I thought you said there is such a thing as feelings. There are such a thing as feelings. I mean, I think we can look and say, okay, by definitions of relative and subjective and all these different things. Yeah, we can see it. We can categorize it any way we want. But hear what Paul says. Listen, if something's a lie, don't speak it. What you need to be speaking is truth. What you ought to be communicating is truth. What ought to proceed from your mouth is not lies, but truth. It's not just truth that you espouse. It's not just truth that you feel. It's not just truth that you've recognized and accepted as truth. You need to speak truth. Sometimes we speak lies. Sometimes we've accepted lies. And so Paul says, listen, we need to do away with lying. We need to take that off. And we put on truth. You say, well, how in the world do we put on truth? I mean, what's the answer to putting on truth? Go to John 8. Go to John 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus says these words to those that believed on him. So I hope that would, man, it should apply to us a little bit, right? How do we just know we're speaking truth? All right, so Jesus said unto those, verse 31, those Jews which believed on him. Look at what he says. It's real difficult. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Well, I mean, how are we going to know the truth? If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth. You'll know the truth. Well, how? By continuing in the Word of God. Wait. I have a biology book that says, okay, but wait. God didn't say, I mean, you say, well, it's just old archaic thinking. No. Jesus is not old archaic thinking that does not apply to the day and age in which we live. Children, listen up. The Word of God is relevant for our day. And the Bible says, listen, if you're going to continue in truth, you're going to have to continue in my word. You're going to have to be in my word. It's not just, well, I mean, we watch CNN or we watch Fox News and therefore we've determined what we believe the truth is. No, 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 no. Before Fox News and before CNN and before Darwin and before anything else, guess what? The eternal Word of God was supreme and ultimate truth, and beside it there is none else. Come on, before everybody in this world came up with relative and objective, Jesus just said, my word, true. Come on. He says, and you shall know the truth, and this is what's going to happen. And the truth shall make you free. Make you free. So I just can't come to a place where I can just feel like I have the truth and I know what the truth is and how can we say other people's truths are not truths? Well, listen, let me set you free. His word is true. There's freedom in that. I'm just telling you, there is freedom to coming to the place to where I don't care what other people think. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what other people espouse. I don't care with what other... I'm telling you, if you think it's crazy today, it's going to be crazier tomorrow. And the year after that, it's going to be crazier than it is now. Friend, listen to me. You need to set yourself free with the truth that His Word is truth. And if you'll continue in His Word, it doesn't matter how crazy the world around us gets. We have the truth. I don't have to go searching. I don't have to go get a doctorate. I don't got to go get an anthropology study on all. No. I just need to read His Word and continue in it. His Word hasn't changed. It doesn't matter what subject you go to. It doesn't matter what topic you pick. I'm promising you, if you'll continue in the Word of God, He's got the answer for climate control. He does. This world, listen, think we're going to control the climate. We're not going to control the climate. I'm not for just, hey, let's just go and destroy the planet we live on. I'm not for it. I'm okay. I think it's probably smart if you go ahead and recycle, right? I don't think you're a lunatic if you have a recycle bin. Don't take that. I'm not like we should just go and try to burn tires in our yard. That's not what I'm saying. No, but listen to me. The Lord's going to melt this place with fervent heat. They're right. There is going to be global warming one day. But it's not because you drove an SUV or a Toyota Prius. Now, if you want to save gas, drive the Toyota by all means. You do it. But listen to me. The truth is, you're not bringing this about. God's bringing this about. And God's in control. And God is the ultimate arbiter of the reality of the fact that He's already said by His word, I'm going to melt that place with fervent heat. I'm going to do away with it. It shall be no more. You say, well, why would He do a thing like that? Because He told us this: He's buried your sins in the depths of its seas. I'm glad He's getting rid of it. Just am. I'm glad they're going to be remembered no more. I mean, they're going to be gone altogether one day. I'm thankful for that. You say, well, how did we come to a conclusion like this? It's not because of great vice presidents of the past. It's not. It's not Al Gore that brought us about the idea that, man, this world is going to, we're destroying their, no. God said, and guess what? Al Gore, I don't know that Al Gore's read the Bible ever once in his life. I don't know. But listen, he didn't come up with some an inconvenient truth. He's making up a lot of lies, but he didn't come up with any. Listen, that was God's truth long before Al Gore even had a thought of it on his brain to make some money. It was. And I'm telling you, you can go to any topic that this world is up in arms and listen, and that they're living in fear about, and they're scared about, and we don't know the answer, and we don't know where to turn, and we don't know what to do. It's not hard. You need to get settled on the fact that His Word is truth. And so as you communicate, we don't communicate fear, and we don't communicate to try to be intellectual. No, we just communicate. It's like, well, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but God's Word is, it says this. Listen, you say, well, why would we heck like that? Well, go over to chapter 14. John chapter 14. Say, you mean just trust Jesus? Yeah. Put on Christ. Learn of Him. Continue in His Word. Well, why would I do that? Well, John 14:6. We know this verse, right? Jesus saying to them, I am the way, the what? Truth. So what you're saying, we just need to learn more about Christ. Absolutely. We need to learn to speak the truth. Well, how? By continuing in His Word. Learning to know Him better. Getting to know Him more. John 17:17. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word, O Lord, is truth. So what are you saying? We need to speak the Word of God to one another? Yeah. Yeah. We need to communicate with one another in a biblical way? Yes. Yeah, that's how we're supposed to communicate. This is just really shallow stuff. No. What's shallow is literally getting on the news every night and biting your fingernails because you just don't understand how COVID's going to take over the world. It's not. Because the world don't belong to COVID, it belongs to God. Listen, and all that is therein. And if you study the Word of God and you'll continue in the Word of God, you can have some solid foundation of truth by which you can look at all the craziness of this world and just go, you know what? I think God's got it under control. I think it's all going to end up just as He said. We can just kind of have some peace and some contentment and some rest tonight because God's in control and we're going to just operate in the truth and we're going to communicate truth and we're going to look at each other and we're going to share truth with one another. And so that means, listen, that when we go out in the world and we run into members that we're one of another of, you know, because, you know, you came here because of another human being and another human being before them and the other human beings that came after you came here because of human beings, right? We're members one of another. And we don't just say, oh, you believe that. Oh, okay. See ya. Oh, okay, sure, whatever you think. If that truth works for you, that's good. No, that means that we look at those whom we have a connection to and say, listen, you might think that's the truth, but that's not the truth. And we share the truth. And we speak the truth. And we talk about the truth. I want you to understand that there's a lot of things that take place in our lives that are wrong. Teenagers, listen up. Kids, listen up. There's a lot of things that go wrong in the lives of people who don't speak truth. A lot of things that go wrong in the lives of people who don't speak truth. A lot of kids say, man, if I just told mom and dad the truth, they'd be angry. They wouldn't like it. I'm telling you, you'd probably find out they're hurt. You'd probably find out that they might just be a little blown away. I can't believe you did that or whatever. But I'm telling you, I'm just saying, your parents would rather know the truth and help you than to later find out that you've been living a lie. Absolutely would. Because a lie hurts and a lie hinders. And listen, but listen, peace comes and freedom comes from the truth. Someone who's living in sin, someone who's hiding their sin, someone who has sin in their life and they don't want anybody to know about it. They don't want anybody to find out about it. They're ashamed about it. Maybe they're embarrassed about it. And they just think that we'll just continue on and act like nothing's ever going to happen. No one's ever going to know. And listen, I'm just telling you, the truth is your sin will find you out. It's going to find you out. You know, deal with it before God. And there are some things, listen, that just need to be spoken. And we just need to acknowledge them and acknowledge who we are and where we are and what we are. And we need to get some accountability in our life and make sure, listen, I want all things to be open and I want all things to be right and I want all things to be truthful. And I don't want to allow a lie to be that which governs my life any longer. I'm telling you, we need truth. 2 Timothy and verse number 2 and verse 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth, continuing in His word allows truth to be whispered, allows truth to become forth. The reality is, listen, you and I, if we're going to be real true worshipers of God, if we're really going to be the Christians that God wants us to be, it's not just that we cover up our sin. It's not just that we lie to everybody about our sin. But a true worshiper of God worships in spirit and guess what? Truth. Spirit and in truth. You say, well, if everybody knew about me, listen, if everybody that knows about you acts toward you the way you think they're going to act towards you when you speak the truth about you, listen, the truth they're trying to profess about themselves, that's a lie too. Do you catch that? If Pastor, if you knew what I would tell you, you wouldn't believe it. Come on. If they found out, they would reject me. You'd reject me. You wouldn't have any compassion on me. Nobody would love me. Nobody would care about me. No. Listen, if that's the truth, then the people that are treating you that way aren't very Christ-like themselves. Because Christ said, listen, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean there's never consequences for sin. There are consequences for sin. That's just a reality. It's an old analogy and maybe overused, but if you go out drinking and get in a car wreck and lose your arm and then you'll go and repent, you don't grow a new arm back, right? There are some consequences for sin. But listen to me. The consequences for remaining in sin are far less than just simply walking in truth. And I'm telling you, we've allowed ourselves to believe a lie if we think everybody's going to reject us, everybody's going to turn their back on us, and nobody's... No. Listen, even church discipline is not meant to shame anyone. It's not meant to make... You know, we're going to make them feel bad. We want them to come to repentance unto God. The whole point is, let's repent of it. Let's get right with God. Stop walking in your pride and your arrogance and in your sin and just turn to God and repent. Let's move forward. The consequences will be what they are. But the main thing is this, that your soul might be saved. That you could be right with God. And you only get that by accepting the truth and not a lie. In Matthew in chapter number 5, Matthew in chapter number 5, as Christ gave the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples, he says in verse number, He says, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven or for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city. The city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh to evil. If you go over to the book of James in chapter 5, James in chapter 5 and verse number 12, we have more of this instruction, and there's someone calling me because I'm never in church on Wednesday night. Amen. James in chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Let's all remember to, hey, it's the Linden Farmers Market. So, amen. It says this, but above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven nor by earth. It's kind of the same instruction. Neither by any oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Now, this is where some people are like, I'm not going to say I'm going to do anything. I'm not going to make any oaths. Listen, we need to make not oaths in a sense of this. You need to never do something that you don't have any say you're going to do something that you have no intention of doing. If you have no intention, hey, you say, well, I just said yes to get them off my back. You need to let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Why? I intended to do it. Then do it. Well, I forgot. Okay, well, get it done. No, I mean, I'm just saying, it's just the instruction here is that not that we make great swelling promises by God and by the earth and by things that really don't belong to us, and that was a custom of their day, but the underlying rule and lesson is this, that you need to speak truth and don't lie. If the answer is no, then say no. And if the answer is yes, then say yes. If you don't want to do something, don't agree to do it. If you are willing to help do something, somebody said, I need you to do something. Okay, I can help you with that. Then help them with it. Help them with it. Do what you said you were going to do. Speak truth. The idea of a swear is to affirm or to promise. If you said you were going to do it, then get it done. Get it done. Say, well, I didn't get done when I said I was going to do, so I just didn't do it at all. No. If you said you were going to do it, get it done. Don't continue to compound it by neglecting it. Get it done. Don't try and look good just by saying yes. Just say yes to what you want to say yes to. And if you know you can't help or you know you can't do this, then say no. It's a matter of speaking truth. Why? Because you're not helping someone of humanity to say yes when the answer really in your heart is no. Or to say no when the Holy Spirit of God inside of you is saying yes. Come on. When the Holy Spirit of God says, nope, you need to say yes. You need to help this person. You need to do this. You need to take this upon yourself. You need to say yes. Benevolent need talked about tonight. And somebody lays on somebody's heart to say, you know what? I feel led. We need to do something. Can you help to do something? We need to follow the Spirit of God. But ultimately, we need to learn to walk in truth based upon His Word. Not based upon what this world thinks or what this world says or what, man, all the new ideas of the age matter nothing to the eternal Word of God. You just need to learn in everything, in every situation, no matter who it is, to every member of humanity, my yea is yea, my nay is nay. Because we are members one of another. Let's have our heads bowed tonight.